it's working.
Perfect.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarek, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you today on your Sunday. What a beautiful weekend. We have got great changes that's going on. It almost feels like spring is here. And with 50-degree weather, and then it looks like next week, 40-degree weather, that will be outstanding. And obviously those that work outside, whether they're farmers, construction, or anything outside, it is one muddy mess. But sometimes you have to go through the mud before we get to the dry, and then eventually spring will get here. And then all the fun stuff in Iowa, the kickoff to tulip time will be happening here soon in southeast Iowa, and all those other great things. But today, if you're driving down the highway, we want to thank you for listening to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. If you're traveling down the road today, I just hopefully today it's just the words of encouragement. We're doing a teaching series called The Kingdom of God, and we just want to thank you for joining us today. Many of you have shared with me on your way to church or listening. Have a safe trip as you're headed for church, and just again, enjoy the fellowship with each other. And many of you have shared with me that this is actually your home church. You sit at home, and this has become your time at church. We want to thank you so much for being a part of Vital Ministries, and also, too, of listening to us on this radio station on your Sunday morning. But before we get started, just a couple of things. First, we've got our next Vital Gathering event coming up. It's on March 14th. It's at Debbie's Celebration Barn. Now, you don't want to miss that. It's on a Sunday night from 5 to 7. Again, that's March 14th. This is kind of how it all plays out. What we do is in the very beginning, we have food. We eat together. We have fellowship. We just have a great time of getting to know each other a little bit better. Families sit together and all that stuff. And it's just a good time for us to meet new people and also to just to get reacquainted and have a great time. Then we'll have music. It's outstanding. The Vital Gathering band will be singing and bringing worship music, and what a great time. We got a full band that plays and just some great music between Heather and Dale as they sing and lead us to what I would say to the very thresholds of heaven itself, and we get a chance to praise God and for who he is. So I encourage you to be a part of that. Then we'll have a teaching. We'll be talking as our current series, The Kingdom of God. And we'll actually be talking about some of the very words that Jesus said about what that meant. So hopefully this is a time for us as we're in the middle of Lent, a middle of the a time where the observance of Christ, of his final days on earth, as he makes his way back to Jerusalem, to Calvary, to take on a cross. And I just pray that, you could schedule that as part of your time. We would love to have you. Again, that's February 14th, Debbie Celebration Barn from 5 to 7 p.m. on a Sunday evening, March 14th. It will be a great time, and you don't want to miss it. Also, too, I just want to reach out to, and I don't say this very often, but I just, like in any ministry, it takes monies to make it work. And again, if it so inquires you, you can bless us by helping us. Obviously, things cost money. Even being on the radio, there is expenses. And if this ministry has been a help to you and you're so inclined, we just want to ask if you'd be willing to give. You can go to our vitalministries.org webpage. It gives us two ways. You can do it right there on the website, or it gives you our P.O. box to where to send a check if you so desire. But again, I want to thank you for those that contribute and also to just for participating and being with Vital Ministries. But today we have been discussing what exactly is the kingdom of God and how it applies to the last days of February 28th, which is today, 2021. And sometimes when we might be asking this question, and all of us kind of wrestle with that, especially on days like times like it is now, where is God at? Even to the point is, has he forsaken us? We see our country continually swirling down in the loss of values, morals, and little regard to what America first stood for. I found as I watched TV evangelists and churches and live stream, many of them are afraid to talk about the current crisis, which I believe has brought Christian Americans to a Red Sea moment. I like how Dave Ramsey, how he puts it when he writes this. These are his words. He says, "We are clearly living in an upside-down world where right is wrong and wrong is right, where morals is immoral and immoral is moral, where good is evil and evil is good, where killing murderers is wrong but killing innocent babies is right, Wake up, America. The great unsinkable ship, the Titanic, has hit an iceberg, and we are taking on water and sinking fast. Man, does that not describe what I believe our current situation, our status of where we are today? I believe many of us as Christian brothers and sisters, we are frustrated, we're angry, and we sit and at a point of feeling a sense of helplessness that even today many of us feel. Folks, I just encourage you, please hear me this morning. We are without a doubt at a Red Sea moment. In my mind, I think how it was when Jesus walked the earth in his short 33 years. We are observing, again, his life during Lent season, observing the price that was paid by him, taking up the cross for our sins and paying that price with his life and blood. No greater price was paid and no greater grace was given when Jesus walked and what he did for our life and for us, that we might have life with him that he took on our sin. You might be asking this morning, what is my part in the kingdom of God? I like how John Calvin, he gives us a great answer, and this is his words. He says, the task of the church is to make the invisible kingdom visible. We do that by living in such a way that we bear witness to the reality of the kingship of Christ in our jobs, our families, our schools, and even our checkbooks. Because God in Christ is king over every one of these spheres of life. The only way the kingdom of God is going to be manifested in the world before Christ comes is if we manifest it by the way we live as citizens of heaven and subjects of the king. I tell you what, I think this is well said in his statement of how we should look at what truly the kingdom of God is like. Today we're going to look at another man who trusted God and had a kingdom of God moment. When his back was against the wall and needed God to intervene. Today we're going to look at the life of Moses. But before we get to that teaching this morning about the Red Sea moment, let's get just a little bit of a glimpse, get a little bit of history of the man by the name of Moses. The first thing we notice this about Moses, Moses was the first abandoned child mentioned in the Bible. You can find that in Exodus 2:3. The second thing we notice is Moses' Hebrew name means deliverer. Thirdly, Pharaoh's daughter paid Moses' real mother to nurse him. You'll see that in Exodus chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Moses was actually the youngest of his family. Also, too, Moses was a murderer. We can see that in Exodus 2:12. Moses became a shepherd and shepherds sheep. Moses gives God, when he has his burning bush experience, five excuses of why he can't be the deliverer of Israel. And you'll find that in Exodus chapter 3 and also chapter 4. I find that so interesting as we look at that. We've looked for excuses of why we can't lead. And unlike Moses, God always gives us answers to why he has called us. He never calls the qualified. He always calls the unqualified and qualifies them. The eighth thing we find out about Moses is that Moses stuttered when he talked. Number nine, Moses was 80 years old when he led Israel out of captivity. Number 10, When Moses exited, he had the biggest exit of all nations, of all humanity, when he took Israel out of Egypt. Number 11, Moses lived to 120 years old and knew about his death in advance. Man, that would be something, knowing the very day that you were going to die. God gave Moses that privilege. And lastly, God himself buried Moses on the mountain. And his grave was never found. You can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 and 6. Moses had quite a legacy. But let's read a little bit this morning about his Red Sea moment. And how that, not only the Red Sea moment, how it was then, but even today, how those Red Sea moments that we experience, if we keep our eyes fixed on God, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, he always promises to deliver us. My point number one this morning is this, the detour. Now, we are going to be reading a portion of Scripture this morning, but folks, this is the words of God, and I think it's so important for us that it's not the words of man that's being spoken, but the words of God himself that it was written. And let's start with Exodus chapter 13, starting with verse 17, and let's look at how the detour looked. Starting with 17, it says this in my Bible, "When the Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory. Even though that was the shortest route to the promised land, God said, if the people are faced with battle, they might change their minds and return to God. And return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear to do this. He said, God will certainly come to help you, and when he does, you must take my bones with you from this place. The Israelites left Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from its place in front of the people." Now, I want you to notice something as we read that portion of the Bible. We see God's first order. Notice that God doesn't give Israel the shortest way back to the promised land. No, he gave Israel a route that would be talked about down through the generations. See, God had his protection on Israel, and he wanted them to know that. By placing a cloud in front of them during the day and a cloud of fire to light up the sky at night, he wanted them to know that he is protection and that he was going to advance the Israelite nation to go back to the promised land, and they would always remember how they got there, that God's hand was on them. Obviously, as we read through the Bible, we'll see great struggles and tribulation with the Israelite people, but that's the same thing that goes along with us. See, he didn't give an easy route to Israel, and nor does he give us an easy route either in life itself. We always have orders. God sends us in a direction, but not necessarily in the direction that's the shortest way. Sometimes we want that short way, don't we? But it doesn't always work out that way. You know, there's a song that I appreciate, and it's by Garth Brooks. And he sings a song called "The Dance." And at the end of the song, the lyrics say this, and I think it's important for us today just to kind of get a glimpse that brings us to identity, I think, of how things are for us. And Garth sings it this way. I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to say the words. Trust me, I cannot sing. And it says this, "And now, I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd had to miss the dance." Man, isn't that so true when you think about that? We want to miss the pain in life, but if we had missed the pain, just like Israel, if we missed the pain that God is wanting us to go through to get us to a Red Sea moment and get us through a Red Sea moment to give us the promises that he promises us in life, if it comes easy, we miss the dance. We miss the moments in life. I am so thankful that in my life, that even though, like many of you hearing me today, have experienced great pain, but when our eyes are closed and our days are over, we will without a doubt know that God led us. And that we experience through the Red Sea moments the dance of life itself. And I hope today these words encourage you. I pray that maybe somebody this morning in my hearing voice of what's being said, you are in the midst of a Red Sea moment. See, life isn't easy for Israel, nor it is for us, but God always reminds us that he is behind us and he is before us, and he lights the way of our lives. Now here's the second order as we continue with point number one, the detour. It says this, starting with verse 14. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp at Pharaoh Harnath between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. Now, at this point, we can really see some interesting things. God marches the Israelite people to the Red Sea. And he also, too, in the order he gives them, he also gives them three instructions that's going to happen. Number one, I'll make Pharaoh think you're confused. See, God is working. He's working the things that are going on and causing confusion, making Pharaoh think that the Israelites don't know where they're going. Where in the world is the promised land? They're simply out there wandering around. By doing that, he thinks that they're weak. The second thing is this. He also hardens Pharaoh's heart to chase after them. Now, I don't know about you, but that you got to wrestle with that a little bit. We've seen that time and time again that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, letting the people go with the 10 plagues. And finally, in the 10th plague, when he loses his own son, the firstborn of all of Israel through the Passover, they lose their child, is when Pharaoh finally yields and lets the people go. You would think he would learn a lesson of a hardening his heart, but he doesn't. He continues doing it, and he chases after God's people. And the third thing, God wants this. He says, I will display my glory, and all of Egypt will know that I truly am the Lord God. See, God was up to work on things that were going on all that time. There was a plan. There was a sequence. There was a way of direction for Israel. And it's the same with us even today. There's a plan. There's a destination. There is a promise, and there will be glory at the end. But folks, I encourage you in these days today, it seems like hopelessness and lostness and all thing is, for better words of saying, is not going well. But God promises he will show his glory. So I encourage you this morning to hold on, which brings us to point number two. The pursuit. Let's look at starting with verse 5 going through 14. When the word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and all of his officials changed their minds. What have we done letting all those Israelite slaves get away? They asked, so Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with its commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who had left with fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all his horses and chariots, his charioteers and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Pi-Hahiroth, across from Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached the people of Israel, Israel looked up and panicked when they saw Egypt overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness." I love Moses' response. He says this. He tells the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still. Watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again, and the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. See, Pharaoh now realizes that his commerce is about to change. It's all about money. And what he does, he goes out and he sees that he has just now released out of his workforce over 100 million, excuse me, over 1 million Hebrew slaves. So what does he do? He listens to the people of Egypt. He calls up his troop and sets out with 600 of his best chariots, his horses, and his fighters, and they chase after Israel. All glory. Now, I find this all along, God is orchestrating these events. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment, folks. Could it be even today that God is unveiling his plans, showing the deception and the depravity of this current administration of our country, the falseness of the banking system, the exposure of human trafficking, the horrible exposure of killing innocent preborn babies, the dark deception of the national news, and it falls into our very local news and across our social media. It appears as the dark army of the enemy is advancing and we are at the shores of the Red Sea. See, there's a lot of similarities here if we really want to look at it, but we'll see God be used. God will use this moment for his glory. As he did with the people of Israel at the Red Sea moment, I believe, folks, that God is about to do something glorious, but it will be in his timing. It will take time, and I'm not going to say a date of when it's going to be, but I believe we will see it yet happen in 2021. That's what I hold down my faith, and that's what I believe. So what happens next to look what Israel does. This is what happens to them. They weaken and they look back. They look back at being enslaved as opposed to being free people. They continue to keep looking back. They weaken. And they ask Moses, why have you brought us here? And on top of it, Moses, it's your fault. But I love Moses. He's an incredible leader. He stands in the midst of the moment, in the midst of the opposition. He sees in the Far East Pharaoh and his army and the chariots coming after him, toward him. And then he sees the people, they're running, they're scared, they have unbelief, and all of a sudden they're blaming God and they're blaming Moses. But Moses, he stands firm, he's a man of God, he's had what I call the burning bush moment, and in the burning bush moment, and he's seen the ten plagues and how God's hand was used, and he believed that God was going to use this moment. And what does he do? He tells them, don't be afraid. Stand your ground and watch the Lord rescue you. And I'm going to encourage you, folks, the same words that Moses spoke. Don't be afraid. Stand your ground. Watch as the Lord will deliver and rescue you in the midst of our Red Sea moments, even in the midst of our nation today. Be encouraged, folks. It is not over. God is going to move mightily. He promises that. He hasn't forsaken us. He loves us as he loves all people. And he is still, I believe, using America to forcefully advancing the kingdom of God. And the Great Commission will be advanced through the nation of America and will be used in a mighty way. And I believe that with all of my heart. If you can't tell I'm excited about that this morning, then you have missed some great points. But let's keep moving. Point number three. Get moving. I love this next section. It says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through in the middle of the sea and dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all of Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. Now, obviously, through this whole story, we see what happens is that God creates the fire. He separates the time from the Egyptian army. They are held at bay by the fire. Moses, he's now in the middle of the night. He's raising his hands up toward the seashore. And then a great eastern wind starts blowing across the Red Sea, and it creates the dry ground so the Israelite people can go to across the Red Sea. And once the next morning they start to cross, and they start crossing the whole million people of Israel, and they're walking across dry ground. And can you only imagine what the moment must have looked like, folks, as they're traveling, they're seeing the high walls of water, and they get across, and then all of a sudden the wall of fire is let up, and the Egyptian 600 charioteers go chasing across, chasing after them. God creates confusion among the Egyptian army. Their tires or their wheels get broken and entangled, and they see all the things that are going on, and they see that God is using the very things that they thought being against them, and they even say, we can tell that the Lord is fighting for the Israelite people, so they try to bail out. And Moses raises up his hands, and then also too his thing that he's holding in his hand, his staff, and he tells the water to come back. And the whole Egyptian army is destroyed. See, folks, Moses wanted through the people to see God's glory, and God's glory showed it. He wanted them to know, because here was the key. He had to destroy Pharaoh's army so Pharaoh would never advance and chase them again. And he also wanted the other nations to know and hear that the Lord God fights for Israel. With that being said, let us think this morning about something of God. See, God chose the Israelite people and he protected them. But I want you to think about this morning. America chose God in its beginning, and there is still a mighty remnant, I believe, in America that serves God. I can't help but believe that God is protecting America and its values for him. Don't lose heart, folks. God is at work, and he will make America great again. Hold the line. Keep believing. Even in the midst of our Red Sea moment, God is going to part that sea, and we are going to walk across on dry land. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this opportunity to share your words, to share the words of in the book of Exodus of how the Red Sea moment and how your hand brought freedom to the Israelite people as they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. An absolute scientific, no way that this could happen, but Lord, you are the creator of science, you are the creator of world, and you are the creator of miracles, and then nothing gets past you. We thank you for that moment. We thank you for our Red Sea moment. We praise you for the deliverance that you will give us as well. We love you, Jesus, and we praise you. And we go into your mighty hand by faith and trust who you are. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I hope today that you're encouraged in the midst of your Red Sea moment, that you can trust God in it, and that he will prevail and help you walk across in dry ground. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.